This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We're talking with Alexandra Kazarian with Garagos and Garagos today. She's one of the leading criminal defense attorneys in the country. I'm excited to have this conversation with you because you always bring very interesting perspectives to the table and things that maybe not everybody has completely thought about. So we're going to start it out here, Alexandra, with our little game of let's play a round of pretend you're defending Lori Vallow Daybell. What do you do?
It's the quintessential lawyer answer. It depends.
Yeah.
But this is why having a theme from the very beginning of jury selection, from the very beginning, from the first time that you open your mouth as a defense attorney and talk to prospective jurors, talk to the media, talk to anybody about this case, it is so important to have your theme nailed down. Mm-hmm. Because if they are sticking with the theme, if I was the defense attorney and from the very beginning I had stuck with the theme that I've been talking about, which is this insanity defense that, you know, they like to pretend doesn't exist, but we know it actually does.
Yeah.
If you read between the lines of the law, if you come out hard with that from the beginning, then these text messages still fit in with that theme. Mm-hmm. Look, bad person saying terrible things, also fixated on this religious belief that she really, truly, honestly believes. Uh-huh. And with that mental health issue, you can come in and out of it. You can say things that are rational and seem to follow a complicated pattern of thinking, like, you know, realizing somebody's got an insurance policy or social security benefits that could pay out. But at the same time, you've got that underlying mental health issue that's operating just behind, you know, your eyeballs, basically. And it's informing the reason that you're talking about these insanely callous things. So if the theory is established well before this terrible evidence comes out, then you have the strongest chance of arguing to the jury, see, I told you, throughout this trial, you're going to see terrible, terrible things that are said, but they're going to be informed by the fact that my client was plagued with this mental defect that allowed her to believe that her children were part of this crazy religious belief that she had, mm-hmm. but that she truly, honestly had. So it's if the only way to defend a defendant like her in a case like this is to establish that theme, stick by that theme, and explain how every piece of evidence that the prosecution is presenting fits into that theme.
Do you think that her defense has a theme right now, or are they just kind of throwing things out there and seeing what sticks?
Well, it's hard to know because, you know, a good defense attorney, it's not a smart move to come out super, super strong in opening and say, this is our theme, this is what you're going to see, because trials are like landmines and mm-hmm. evidence is like landmines. And you don't ever really honestly know what a jury thinks is important. You can sit there and say, if I was a juror on this case, I would think these pieces of evidence are important. And then you get your verdict and then you talk to the jurors afterwards and they are off the walls. The things that they hold on to are things that you would never have honed in on yourself, things that you never would have emphasized, things that you did not think were important, so you didn't even talk about them in your closing. A lot of times, the decisions that one or two jurors that are undecided, the reason that they come to the decision they have is based on something that neither side even spoke about. So there's a danger in going too hard in your theme and revealing what you're going to be arguing in closing. It's a great case when you can give your opening and then in your closing say, see, everything happened exactly the way I told you it was going to happen. It's a lot easier for prosecutors to do that because they don't have to come up with a complicated theme. The theme is this person did it for this very basic reason. And most of the evidence really is going to fit into a prosecutorial theme, or else they wouldn't have charged the person in the first place. So that for the defense, you have to be a little bit more nuanced. And so I don't know from the outside looking in if they have that theme, you know, like mm-hmm. in O.J. Simpson, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit. Well, that obviously wasn't there at the beginning of the case.
Sure.
But as the case developed, that was a huge piece of evidence. And the defense was able to then build the theme around that piece of evidence and draw in every other argument that they had. So I don't know. At this point, I don't know if they have their theme set. I would imagine that they're going to have to use some kind of a mental defect defense to argue why this evidence exists. But, you know, exactly how they're doing it, I can't tell. And it wouldn't be smart of them to put it all out there right now.
Yeah.
In the middle of trial.
Yeah, there's obviously still some time for them to, I think, hone in on their theme. They have not yet had their chance for the defense to take things up yet. But it will be interesting once they do, after this cornucopia of insanity that's played out in the court thus far. Assuming that they, let's just pretend that they're going to go with the theme that you have described. Maybe they'll hone back in on it when it's their turn. How would you defend, though, something like she had said to Audrey yesterday, one of her friends, where it was almost very out of character for Lori Vallow. Took me aback when I read about it. I had to actually hear the testimony before I felt like this person was legit in their testimony. I'm speaking about where she had said that Lori looked to her and told her how naive she was, and something to the effect of that she would kill her, she would cut her up, and she would bury her where no one would find the body. Very descriptive. And that's nothing that we've heard Lori or anybody testify to her talking about at all. It just seemed to be to this one individual. Is that something that, number one, I after hearing the voice of this woman, I believe it probably happened. But was that a break on the part of Lori's character, if you will, where everything, when she made veiled threats, they were always kind of in the line of religious thinking and some sort of doctrine and zombies and this or that, not just flat out, I'm going to cut you up and bury you?
Well, I would argue in closing,
yeah,
I would not touch that in cross-examination. I would not touch that in a cross-exam or in a direct. If I'm putting up a defense, I'm not going to bring in any other witnesses to that effect, unless I would bring in a doctor to, I don't think that I would specifically bring up that conversation, but I would ask a doctor who's on our side, who knows that I'm going to ask him this question beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody is operating on a mental break, if they have, you know, this kind of mental defect that, you know, you believe that Lori Vallow had at the time that, you know, all of these conversations were happening, would it be out of the ordinary for somebody who's suffering from this kind of mental break to suddenly throw out a violent threat that is completely out of character for them?
Mm-hmm.
Is that in line with the kind of mental defect that we're talking about that we believe Lori Vallow may have had? And I would expect a doctor at that point to say that I would expect somebody who doesn't talk like that, who doesn't generally speak like that, to say something like that. And I think people, again, who have experience with people who are suffering from a psychotic break, have seen loved ones say horrible, violent things to them, mm-hmm, in the middle of this kind of an episode. So again, if that's the theme you're going with,
yeah,
I think this aberration from her character actually fits in with the argument that Lori Vallow, as a person who had these children and loved these children, she would not have done these things if she was in her right mind.
Very interesting. I've been pondering and wondering, what are they going to be bringing in? Who are they going to be bringing in when it's the defense's turn? And now I'm wondering, are we going to see a slew of doctors come through and argue this point that this is not a mentally well human being? Why is she even on trial? Because she's not there mentally with the ways that she was thinking.
I would absolutely expect that. That is the number one defense that I would go through here. And if there's not a doctor that is brought in on the defense side, then I don't know what the defense is.
Exactly. I have no idea where we're going to... She was auditioning for a movie. It's all of us. It's a script that went horribly, horribly wrong.
Maybe we're all part of the documentary. You know, it's season two of that jury duty documentary, and we're all the subject.
It's all a joke. The kids never existed. This is all just an experiment.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Alexander Kazarian, one of the nation's leading criminal defense attorneys with Garagos and Garagos. Thank you so much for your insight. Always love hearing from you. And hey, if you like the podcast, you guys, press subscribe wherever you're downloading it. You don't miss any breaking updates and discussions on the cases we're following for you right here. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.